Perspectives on Easter, a 10-10 Thrive special.
My name is Joanna. I was one of Jesus' disciples. Oh, how I loved to listen to him teach and preach. I was there for many of the miracles. In fact, he once healed me of a terrible illness. But more than that, he changed my heart. I was born into the family of means. My father was a merchant who traded all sorts of goods. He owned fishing boats. He had caravans that traveled all over Asia Minor. He paid generous bribes to local officials that allowed him to conduct his business with minimal interference. Although my name means Yahweh, has been gracious, I was not raised in a very religious home. We kept the Sabbath, celebrated the feast days, and sacrificed dutifully, but we did this more out of custom than out of commitment. When I was 16, I married Chusa, who was from a similar family. Not long thereafter, Chusa went to work as the steward of Herod Antipas, the Tetrarch of Galilee and Perea. It was an important job managing the household of our powerful man. We moved to Tiberias into the big house right on the coast, and our social standing continued to rise. Almost every week there was another party, as wild and profane as the ones for which the Romans were famous. Antipas was the son of Herod the Great, whose paranoia led him to murder anyone who might even remotely threaten his grip on power. King Herod murdered his wife, his two sons, his brother-in-law, and the innocent children of Bethlehem who were massacred at about the time Jesus was born. I first heard of Jesus when he was baptized by John under Jordan River. The Tetrarch was fascinated by John. Sometimes he would have small routine take him close to the river, but hidden from view, where he could hear the Baptist preach. He had spies who kept watch on some of John's closest friends. The day of the baptism, Chusa was in the audience, and I was there with him. My husband simply reported that the man whom John appeared to admire had been in the river. I recognized there was something even more significant about that moment. Sometime later, I heard that there was a man that was teaching and performing miracles. He would pass through the villages, and all the sick that were living there would be healed. It turned out it was Jesus, and I determined I must meet him. For more than a year, I had been suffering from crushing headache and fainting spells, and none of the physicians could seem to help. Some of the local religious authorities said that my illness was caused by evil spirits brought on by my association with Herod. I was told so many times that I was demon-possessed and that I almost started to believe that I was. Herod established his capital of the Galilean district right in Tiberias, next to the hot springs. Tiberias had been built on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, over an older town called Hamat, in fact, right over Hamat Cemetery. As such, the Tiberias was a cemetery before it was even a city. The fact that I lived there was probably another reason why some of the Jewish authorities thought I was possessed. And then I met Jesus. He can't come to Capernaum, and I was there doing errands for the household. When I met him, he looked me in the eyes, gently told me, "Woman, you are free." I have not been the same since. I was not just physically made whole, I was also spiritually changed. I wanted to learn more from this man, and so I started to follow him. There were other women like Mary Magdalene and Susanna who did the same. And Jesus welcomed us into his inner circle. In doing so, he broke with the true Jewish tradition and the strict social divisions of the day. When I could, I traveled with Jesus, served him, learned from him, and financially supported his ministry. On that day, when he rode to Jerusalem, I was there. It surprised me. He was a poor, humble man who often refused the charity that I offered to him and his 12 closest followers. The crowd grew and got even more frenzy. I began wondering if it might be possible that he was going to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. Last than 1 week later, I stood in the crowd at the Praetorium as the other people around me urged the Roman governor, Pilate, to crucify Jesus. One day, I thought he was going to be crowned king. The next thing I knew, the man who had brought so much hope and healing to so many was being led away to be crucified. Many of the women who had followed him and supported him huddled together to watch. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, Salome the mother of James and John. We watched as he stumbled under the weight of the cross and the soldiers roughly prodded him along. We longed to do something to help, but he knew that it was too dangerous to intervene. Jesus was taken down the Via Dolorosa, a route through the old city from the Temple Mount, overlooking the temple complex all the way to a hill outside the Damascus Gate. Seeing him suffer as he did got the better of us. We started crying and weeping for him. Along the way, he stopped briefly and addressed us. Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Jesus then used the metaphor of a green tree and a dry tree to explain that if he who is innocent is being crucified, what will happen to those who are guilty? We did not understand at the time, but he was still saying that the judgment that was coming upon Jerusalem could be severe, that all of us should be prepared for it. At Calvary, we watched in horror as Jesus was nailed to the cross and hoisted up into the air. We heard the cries of pain and saw the blood flowing from his wounds. We wept all with his mother, Mary from Nazareth, mourning the terrible injustice of it all. Hours passed, and finally Jesus breathed his last. I watched as his body was taken down from the cross and wrapped in linen cloths. I followed as Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus carried the body of the tomb and laid it inside. I watched as a large stone was rolled across the entrance and the sealed in place. That Sabbath was not restful for me at all. All I can think of was Jesus alone in the darkness. Finally, on the third day, I rose early and went to the tomb to anoint his body with the spices. I met the other woman in the way. As we approached the tomb, we could see that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. When I stepped inside, I could see the tomb empty. The linen cloths that wrapped Jesus' body were lying there, but the body itself was gone. All of us stood there, perplexed about this. All of a sudden, two men stood by us, and there was light cascading over them, like something that I had never seen. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" one of the men asked. "He is not here. He is risen. Remember, he told you when you were still back in Galilee that he had to be handed over to the sinners to be killed on the cross and in 3 days rise up." "Yes, I remembered. We remembered." Suddenly, it hit me. Jesus was not dead. Jesus was alive. He had risen, just as he promised. I ran to tell the other disciples the incredible news, my heart filled with joy and wonder.